for the services. I guess it would come out something like, he bought a lot of Connecticut land, which is now shopping centers, and snapped a lot of bras, and drank a lot of wild turkey, and left me a rich widow, and I lived with him through the best years of my life, and I've had more fucking black glamour mink coats than I ever had orgasms, so let's all get out of here and go to a roadhouse somewhere and dance, and after a while, maybe somebody will get drunk enough to forget I've had my fucking chin tied up behind my fucking ears 3 fucking times, 2 in fucking Mexico City, and 1 in fucking Germany, and snap my fucking bra. Oh, fuck it. Why am I telling you all this? The only things men like you understand are humping, plea bargaining, and how to bet on pro football games. She was crying again. Billy Halleck, who now understood the drink she had now almost finished was far from her first of the evening, shifted uncomfortably in his chair and took a big gulp of his own drink. It banged into his stomach with untrustworthy warmth. He's convinced it's skin cancer, because he can't let himself believe in anything as ridiculously old-world, as superstitious, as penny dreadful novel as Gypsy Curses. But I saw something deep down in his eyes, Billy. I saw it a lot over the last month or so, especially at night, a little more clearly every night. I think that's one of the reasons he left, you know, because he saw me seeing it. Refill? Billy shook his head numbly, and watched her go to the bar and mix herself a fresh martini. She made extremely simple martinis, he saw. You simply filled a glass with gin and tumbled in a couple of olives. They left twin trails of bubbles as they sank to the bottom. Even from where he was sitting, all the way across the room, he could smell the gin. What was it with Carrie Rossington? What had happened to him? Part of Billy Halleck most definitely did not want to know. Houston had apparently made no connection between what was happening to Billy and what was happening to Rossington. Why should he have? Houston didn't know about the gypsies. Also, Houston was bombing his brain with big white torpedoes on a regular basis. Lita came back and sat down again. If he calls and says he's coming back, she told Billy calmly, I'm going to our place on Captiva. It will be beastly hot this time of year, but if I have enough gin, I find I barely notice the temperature. I don't think I could stand to be alone with him any more. I still love him, yes, in my way I do. But I don't think I could stand it. Thinking of him in the next bed, thinking he might touch me. She shivered. Some of her drink spilled. She drank the rest all at once, and then made a thick blowing sound, like a thirsty horse that had just drunk its fill. Lita, what's wrong with him? What's happened? 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 Why, Billy, dear, I thought I'd told you, or that you knew somehow. Billy shook his head. He was starting to believe he didn't know anything. He's growing scales. Carrie is growing scales. Billy gaped at her. Lita offered a dry, amused, horrified smile and shook her head a little. No, that's not quite right. His skin is turning into scales. He has become a case of reverse evolution, a sideshow freak. He's turning into a fish or a reptile. She laughed suddenly, a harsh, cawing shriek that made Halleck's blood run cold. She's tottering on the brink of madness, he thought. The revelation made him colder still. I think she'll probably go to Captiva no matter what happens. She'll have to get out of Fairview if she wants to save her sanity. Yes. Lita clapped both hands over her mouth and then excused herself as if she had burped, or perhaps vomited, instead of laughed. Billy, incapable of speaking just then, only nodded and got up to make himself a fresh drink after all. She seemed to find it easier to talk now that he wasn't looking at her, now that he was at the bar with his back turned, and Billy purposely lingered there. Carrie had been furious, utterly furious, at being touched by the old gypsy. He had gone to see the Raintree Chief of Police, Alan Chalker, the following day. Chalker was a poker buddy, and he had been sympathetic. The gypsies had come to Raintree directly from Fairview, he told Carrie. Chalker said he kept expecting them to leave on their own. They had already been in Raintree for 5 days, and usually 3 days was about right. Just time enough for all the town's interested teenagers to have their fortunes told, and for a few desperately impotent men and a like number of desperately menopausal women to creep out to the encampment under cover of darkness and buy potions and nostrums and strange oily creams. After 3 days, the town's interest in the strangers always waned. Chalker had finally decided they were waiting for the flea market on Sunday. It was an annual event in Raintree, and drew crowds from all four of the surrounding towns. Rather than make an issue of their continuing presence, gypsies, he told Carrie, could be as ugly as ground wasps if you poke them too hard, he decided to let them work the departing flea market